You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. It's David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. And we're going to talk a little Big Ten, but women's basketball today. And I'm pleased to have back on Dishin' and Swishin', the first time since she's been wearing maize and gold, Coach Kim Barnes-Arico from the University of Michigan. Coach, how are you today?
I'm great, David. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So, Coach, the team has been playing great, 15-3, 4-1 in the Big Ten, you know, and your only losses are at Utah, to Duke, and then this past week a really tough game against Penn State. You know, congratulations on having one of the best starts in the history of Michigan women's basketball.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that. I feel fortunate enough to have taken over a program that has a group of five seniors that has really done a tremendous job so far this season.
Well, you know, let's start right there. And you've got five seniors, and they're five of your six leading scorers, and they do dominate a lot of the playing time and, you know, any place that you look in the box score. So, you know, how good has it been having that kind of veteran leadership as you're trying to slowly bring in your own players and your own system?
I think that it's been incredibly helpful to have that group of seniors. You know, they have embraced me since the day I was hired. They welcomed me to the Michigan family as well as welcomed my immediate family to our basketball family. So they are just a tremendous group of young ladies. They're all great students, you know, pre-med, pre-law, as well as incredible people. But they, you know, embrace the change, welcome the change, and have really bought into me and our staff and what we're trying to do, as well as us, you know, kind of taking their lead because they have such experience at Michigan as well as in the Big Ten.
You know, one thing that, you know, we were talking about before we started recording was the fact that, you know, it's difficult for a coach in some cases, and you have to look no farther than the Los Angeles Lakers right now. It's difficult for a coach to try to adapt to their player strengths and not just get caught up in, you know, for lack of a better word, the ego of bringing in your system 100%. It's been successful. But you have let the players do their thing.
Yeah, you know, David, it's interesting because I came from a system at St. John's where our players were, you know, totally different than the players that I have here at Michigan. And I knew coming in when I took the job that it was definitely going to be a combination. I was not going to come in and try to change everything because I knew if I did try to change everything, we wouldn't be very successful. When you have a group of young ladies that have played together for 4 years, they kind of know each other inside and out. They know their strengths and weaknesses, and they've kind has showed me the way along the way. And, you know, they've been great. You know, we've obviously made some adjustments and some changes. And, you know, I've brought some things from my past, but I've also really kind of leaned on their strengths as a team. They share the basketball extremely well. They have a great ability to knock down shots. They're very efficient on the offensive end, and they play incredibly, incredibly hard. They have a passion for the game and a kind of a refuse to lose attitude.
Well, it doesn't hurt that you got people that can shoot the rock like Kate Thompson and distribute like Jenny Ryan either.
Yeah, no. Obviously, we have one of the best shooters in the country in Kate Thompson. She has been incredible all season long, and I knew she was going to have that kind of year from the first day that I was hired, she has been in the gym for hours and hours every day. I mean, shooting thousands and thousands of shots a day. I think she shot 50,000 shots over the summer. So she has really worked on, I mean, she was obviously a great shooter leading up to this year, but she committed herself every day this summer to really becoming one of the best shooters in the country. And Jenny Ryan, I can't say enough about this young lady, but when I first took the job, you know, I was looking over the stat sheet and I noticed that Jenny Ryan had led our team in every statistical category except for scoring. But her assist-to-turnover ratio was incredible. She's like a 5'8", little tiny thing, and led our team in rebounding. I mean, she just has a toughness and a refuse-to-lose attitude about her. She never quits. She does whatever you ask. You know, this year I've kind of asked her to step up and score a little bit more for us, which she's definitely capable of doing, but she would prefer to find her teammates if possible. So she's just a complete player, you know, any coach's dream, and I'm happy, you know, to have her on my team.
You know, and as you said, she leads the team in minutes played, steals, assists, you know, 4.5 rebounds and 11 points a game, which is a career high for her. So she's certainly thriving in the KBA system.
Yeah, we have a great relationship and a great connection. I just really value what she brings to a team. And a lot of times, you know, there are things that go unnoticed. They don't always end up in the stat sheet, the number of charges she takes per game and the number of great decisions she makes per game. But she does so many things just to help teams be successful. I've never had such a vocal leader as a kid. She's so, you know, mature beyond her years. She helps the younger kids. She just is really a true, true leader, a true captain, and a tremendous player.
Well, you've certainly had the good fortune of having a couple of great point guards with Nadira McKenna and now with Jenny Ryan.
Yeah, I do feel blessed to have, you know, the point guards run your team, and anytime you have great guards in your program, you have a pretty good chance of being successful. And Nadira, I think, is one of the best out there. And, you know, now to follow that up at Michigan with Jenny Ryan, I do feel extremely lucky.
So give me a little inside scoop here. So should I put a couple of shekels down on Kate to win the three-point contest in the postseason things?
Golly, David, I think she really has a shot. I've never seen anything like this. But, you know, it's funny. Our men's program, you know, obviously one of the top, if not the top program in the country, has a great freshman shooter from Canada. His name is Nick Stauskas. And he was up, you know, one or two in the country as well. So I'm like, you know, men and women, we have probably the two best shooters in the country right here on campus. I want those two to have a shootout at the end of the season.
7 3-pointers in one game?
Incredible. Incredible. She just has a quick release. You know what the other tremendous thing is, and this kind of tells you a little bit about our team. We find her, and we screen for her, and we make extra passes for her. And she is a great shooter, but she knows that she cannot do it without her teammates. And I think, you know, that's kind of been a key to our set success, is that no one really cares, you know, who's scoring the points as long as we're getting it done. So, you know, we have a young lady named Nicole Elmblad who's a sophomore for us, and she, you know, she's not really scoring, but she's playing 30 minutes a game, and everybody's wondering what the heck, you know, she's bringing to the team because she's not, you know, in the box score every day. And she just finds Kate. She gets her great screen. She finds her on extra passes. She rebounds and kicks out to her. I mean, our team really has an incredible knack for finding Kate, whether it be in transition or off of our half-court sets. But Kate is really a great shooter. Every time she shoots it, I feel as if it's going in. Now, she's coming off a tough game against Penn State where she was 3-for-14, and she had some really, really great looks that she never misses. So that's kind of unusual, but every time she shoots the basketball, I feel like it's going in.
Hey, see, this is what having somebody on the show a couple times does, because you give me these segues, because I was just about to mention the fact that, you know, that Penn State game was a tough one to lose. You were right in it all the way through the entire game. You know, the defense that you guys did on Bentley and Lucas was fantastic, but Kate did struggle. She was only 3-for-14 from three in that game, 3-for-16 overall. And Penn State's defense is also, that wasn't a pretty game, but it was certainly a defensive clinic from both teams.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't a pretty game. And, you know, one of the announcers asked me after the game, you know, do you think it was Penn State's defense? You know, do you think you guys were off? And it's funny because I feel the same way about our defense at times as well. When you come out from the tip and, you know, you look at UConn and you look at the great defensive teams through the years, Rutgers, they give you that pressure. They give you that, you know, that physical contact that, you know, every time you catch it, you're under extreme pressure. Or even before you catch it, you feel that pressure. So you're a little nervous and you're a little timid, you know, from your first catch. And I think that kind of wears you down. And as the game goes on, you might not be feeling that same pressure, but in your mind, you're moving quicker than you ever have, or you're taking a faster shot than, or you're further from the basket than you've ever been. And I thought Kate might have been a step back, you know, one more step in, maybe those shots would have gone in. But obviously it's a combination, you know, really due to the way Penn State came out against us and the pressure that they gave us immediately. But then, you know, I think it really kind of got to us mentally as well. You know, we need to be able to handle that and to be able to keep our composure, because as the game wore down, and you know, you probably saw it as well, her shots were open shots. I mean, shots that she always makes. So I think, you know, it probably was a combination of them and then her, you know, mentally losing a little bit of her confidence. But, you know, she will be back. I mean, she's such a great shooter. And I think that's just, that matchup's just going to prepare us for the future. And, you know, anytime, you know, you play a team like that that plays such great defense, you know, you got to adjust to it and you got to be able to adapt.
You know, there's no question that when you play teams like the Penn States, like UConn, as you mentioned, and, you know, some old St. John's teams I know, too. You get bumped, David. Come on. You get hit. You get grabbed. You know, all legally, you know, just physical, aggressive defense. And, you know, you guys are one of – you and Connecticut are the only two teams to hold Penn State under 60 points. You know,
yes.
So the physicality in those games is always going to affect shooters over the course of time. And you're right. You know, they just got to somehow get by it and find other venues to help the team.
Definitely. And I agree with you 100%. And that's kind of, you know, that I think that's kind of one of the things that I've tried to bring from, you know, the Big East and from the East Coast is, you know, the kind of defense that we face night in and night out in the Big East and playing Connecticut and playing Rutgers and playing Notre Dame and just kind of the pressure that you will face and how physical it is and how much contact there is and just kind of bring a different mentality to give to make those teams feel that kind of pressure, make the offense a little bit uncomfortable. So, you know, I was really happy. You know, Penn State finished the game on that run down the end where it was a 12-0 run. But I felt, you know, pretty good up until that point of where we were defensively. Obviously, we need to finish out the contest. But, you know, we're doing a great job holding teams around 50 points a game. And that's really something that, you know, we take pride in as a team. And our rebounding has improved. And that's something that we try to continually work on each and every single day because we know that that's a big difference in your success.
Well, you know, I knew you were going to bring some Big East with you when you went to Michigan, but you had to bring C-Viv with you, too.
Oh, my goodness. David, you took the words right out of my mouth. Golly. I mean, Rutgers, of all the teams, you know, for me, I've lived in New Jersey for the last 15, 20 years until the last 6 months. And, you know, before I was even at St. John's, I followed Rutgers. I was obviously a big, big fan of Coach Stringer and, you know, what her success and what she's been able to do. And then, you know, when I got to St. John's, we started recruiting a lot of those Jersey players. And, you know, that was always a rivalry game for us. And that was a game that really meant a lot to the players in the St. John's program, as well as to me, having the connection to the state of New Jersey, to Rutgers, and you know, just being a fan of Coach Stringer. So she is one of the best in the business, one of the best recruiters, as well as obviously a Hall of Fame coach. So I was like, oh, my goodness, Coach Stringer has to follow me here. No, I was trying to get away from her. But, you know, I think it's really great for our league. It's great for the Big Ten. We are going to have two of the best coaches as well as two of the best programs added to our conference.
Yeah, I think this is all a big plan, to be honest with you, that you guys have it in for Miller, Bolant, and Foster, that you guys are determined to turn this conference into all women coaches.
Ooh, I wasn't even thinking that, David. See where you men go? I didn't even know that. But that's not such a bad thing.
You guys have compiled a collection of some of the best women's basketball coaches in this conference. You know, with you and, you know, you got Borton still out there in Minnesota, and then you're bringing in Fries and Stringer to go with, you know, Coquise. And, you know, Connie Yori. I mean, this is quite a group of women's coaches.
Yeah. I mean, you add Marilyn into that mix with Brenda Fries, and, you know, there really are some tremendous coaches. And I appreciate you saying that, and I'm sure as do the coaches in our league. And I think that was one of the things, you know, when I first came to Michigan, you know, I was really impressed with the coaches in our league, and I think they do a tremendous job, and they are some of the best coaches out there. And now we just added two more. So the league is going to just get better and better.
Well, you know, Coach, one of the things that I did want to ask you, though, you know, you have had the Jersey ties and, of course, being at St. John's and all. You know, being out in Michigan now, how difficult was it to watch from afar everything that went on with the big storm that really hit us in the Northeast? And, you know, I'm sure it impacted many people that you know and, you know, are close to.
Yeah, it was really extremely difficult to watch. You know, all of my people at St. John's were really affected, and my secretary, who I'm very close with, lived in Rockaway and lost everything. She lost her house. She lost her car. She pretty much, you know, is living, you know, renting a temporary place right now. So she lost everything. I still have a house in New Jersey that got a little bit of damage, but not completely terrible. My parents were out there. You know, they lost their power. They had some damage. My friends, I lived in Glen Rock, New Jersey for the last 10 years. My friends and my children's friends were without power. My town back there was damaged, had a ton of damage, and they were without power and no school for over 2 weeks. They actually packed up their car. Two of my girlfriends packed up their car with their six children and got in the car and came out to Michigan and spent the week with us out here while they were going through some of that stuff, because you couldn't even go outside during that time because too many trees were down, the power was affected, the kids couldn't play, all the stores were closed, the gas line, you know, the lines to try to get gas were terrible. So, you know, it really hit home, and it was really a tough time. And it was hard for me because it was the first time that in my, you know, 40-year life that I was away from home and just trying to, you know, be here for my family while being in Michigan. So I had some of my family come out here as well. But it's tough anytime you're not with your family during times of tragedy. And, you know, I felt for them, and, you know, I was just trying to correspond to them the best I could with the phone and, you know, the internet. But some of that stuff was down for a long period of time too. It wasn't easy to get in touch with people. So it was a tough time, but everybody has seemed to bounce back, and I think that's the great thing, you know, in times like that, people are there for each other, and, you know, I'm glad that, you know, everybody was there.
Well, there's no question that once you're in New York or once you're in New Jersey, you know, it sticks with you, and I know that, you know, one thing that you're bringing is a little bit of New York attitude to the maize and blue this year. That can certainly be seen on the defensive side more than anything else. You know, so I know that's going to continue with the rest of the team, and it better, because I was looking at the schedule, Coach, and I want to know who you got mad at you when they scheduled February, and you got to go at Purdue, home to Michigan State and Nebraska, then at Penn State over a two-week period.
Golly, David. Yeah, you know, I'm the new kid on the block, I guess, so you never know what's going to happen. I actually, you know, I think from a coaching standpoint, I don't even know what February looks like. I know it must be pretty bad because I know who we've played thus far, but I actually, and I say the same thing to the players in the program, we can't worry about that. If we get caught up in, you know, who's a month down the road and what's the rest of the schedule look like, I think we forget to take our eyes off the goal, and the goal is our next game, you know, to be as good as we can in our next game and to really work on continuing to improve and continuing to get better and just, you know, one game at a time, one practice at a time. So we're really most focused in on Indiana right now and really worried about the Hoosiers. Playing on the road is never easy, especially in the Big Ten, and any big-time conference going on the road is incredibly difficult. So I know Indiana will be prepared for us tomorrow. So that's really our focus right now.
Now, how important is it to try and turn the home court advantage even more so in the Michigan favor? Now, you've had a couple of really nice crowds, especially the, you know, you had Florida and Penn State both, you know, over 20, almost around 2,800 people for each game. Now, you know, you got to get this going on a regular basis, Coach. And I know that that's your modus operandi is getting that crowd going.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anytime you can get people in the stands, it really helps. I think it, you know, it's a great environment, but it helps the players in the program too to have that support each and every game. And I think we got it started a little bit, but, you know, it's a combination of things. You know, we're really trying to make a marketing push on our end. You know, our facility here is incredible. It's been redone. Chrysler Center is unbelievable. Our practice facility is unbelievable. Our campus is pretty incredible. So I think when people come, they really enjoy the atmosphere. They enjoy the product of watching us play, as well as, you know, we have a kid zone. We have different marketing tools. We have different things available. So we've really created a fun environment to come to a women's basketball game. I think if we continue to be successful, obviously, our fan base will increase. But, you know, it's a great place to watch a game. And hopefully, you know, Michigan State's not too far down the road, and they get a great crowd each and every single day. So that's something that we're really pushing for, and hopefully we'll get better and better as the year progresses and the future continues.
Looking forward to trying to turn that into a real good year-in, year-out rivalry.
Definitely. I'm really excited about that. And I think that's something, you know, I didn't really appreciate. I knew about all the rivalries, but you don't really appreciate it until you're in it. And when I was coming from my press conference here at Michigan, you know, I got a list of kind of, here's a little heads up, do's and don'ts. Whatever you do, don't wear red. And I mean, obviously, you know, that's very difficult for me being at St. John's for 10 years. That's all I owned. But whatever you do, don't wear red. And we particularly don't like green either. So, I mean, I was told immediately about those rivalries and how, you know, significant and important they are. And you know, Michigan, we haven't beaten Michigan State in quite some time. So that's definitely something I'm excited about. I know the players really get excited about that, and so does the state of Michigan. We have a ton of support and a great crowd for that game.
And the last thing I want to ask you, Coach, is, you know, I look around there and I look at the teams and stuff, and I can see Connecticut fitting really nicely in the Big
Ten.
Forget this ACC stuff. I mean, we lost all the Catholic schools. I mean, how about we put UConn into the Big Ten?
Golly, I got Vivian back. Do I really need Gino back? I like ending on the note that I ended with him on, a W. I want to call, that's it. I don't want to ever play Connecticut again.
Well,
so I could always tell, Coach, hey, I had the last one.
You know, not many, you know, there's not too many coaches that could say that to him, that's for sure.
I don't think there are very many at all. That's why I'd like to end it right here. That'd be perfect.
Well, Coach, it's my hope that we start seeing a Michigan-Connecticut at a conference series start, because, you know, we miss seeing you up here in Connecticut. You know, and you know, one thing that you didn't say, and people have to realize that may not know you, is you talked about how the kid, you know, the students embraced you right away and made you feel at home. But, you know, you use the greatest adaptability play in the world in two of the cutest kids around. How can anybody resist that family when you show up?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I always, you know, I got to use them somehow, you know. No, I'm teasing. I mean, they are great and they are wonderful, but they have really, you know, it's so funny because they're so cute and they have taken to my team so well, as my team has them, and it's been tremendous to watch. But they still ask me probably at least once a week, Mama, can we go to St. John's today? Mama, you know, I miss, you know, Nadira, or I miss Shanika. So they haven't forgotten that our St. John's team, but the kids here have really done a tremendous job. And it's funny you say that, you know, being at Connecticut, anytime I would come to Connecticut, and I don't know if it's because I had the little kids with me or my family, but, you know, as bad, you know, sometimes people get a bad rap, but Connecticut fans are terrific, and they've always welcomed me and my family, maybe because they've beaten us so many times, I don't know, but they were always real genuine and real welcoming to me and my family. So it was always a nice place to come, and it was great to always see you guys as well.
You know, Coach, it was, you know, up here it's all about respect. You guys have always played the game the right way. All of your teams always play hard. They play clean. They play with effort and enthusiasm, and we respect that in Connecticut tremendously. And I could see that it's continuing on over there. So, you know, good luck the rest of the season, and I'm looking forward to seeing the success continue through the Big Ten regular season and on into the postseason. And
that'd be great.
You know,
Well, thank you, David. It was so great to talk.
That success, Coach.
Thank you. Great to talk to you as always.
Always my pleasure. Bye bye.
Bye bye.